And yeah, the morning readings now, I have a bunch of little Kindle books of all the different various ashram things, but also they had PDFs of like Bodhisattva or something like that, the one that Sri Gurlingam Maharaj did. So I read a little bit of that every morning. And then The Bird's Way, I didn't know that's a PDF that's on our lineage text.
Google Drive. Yeah.
Yeah, on our Google Drive. And I'll read like, like today, it'll say 118, 119, 120. So I read one of those little passages. And that's very nice. And the new book I told you is Argadatta Maharaj, the Grace or something like that.
Yeah, Gaitonde's. Yeah.
Is it called Shower of Grace?
Yeah, Shower of Grace, exactly. I ordered it on Amazon as Pen of Fortune, but it still hasn't arrived. And they keep saying, oh, check back later. We're hoping that it's coming and this and that. So, but it's coming from India. They said it was only going to take 7 days. And I thought, no, man. Because when Selfless Self came, it took like, I don't know, 14, 15 days to get here. So,
Yeah.
and with COVID and stuff, I just said, okay, it will come when it comes. But I have it on Kindle as well. So I'm reading. And I read just a little chapter of that every day. So
Yeah.
that's what Maharaj said to do, you know? Just stay in touch. Listen to Bhajan. Listen to the videos. I'm very happy that our YouTube channel has really blown up. Like all kinds of people are out there listening to Maharaj's videos and really it's wonderful, you know? And people will text and say, thank you so much for posting these videos, and that's our spiritual duty, you know. There are seekers out there seeking, and rather than seeking some guy, who's going to charge you, like Maharaj says, 3 lakhs rupees, instead you come to the website and you can listen to the most highest knowledge for absolutely free, and you can listen to hundreds of hours of video. I mean, there's just a lot of videos on our site. It's crazy. And then our talks are there since 2017. People could listen to that too. So I mean, it's like public service, I guess you would say, for the seekers.
Yeah. Yep, that's good. That's our job.
Indeed. Our spiritual duty, as Maharaj says.
Thanks, John and Kathleen, for these meetings.
Oh, thank you for coming, Rami. You're one of our star players here. It comes every single week, and along with Andrew and Keith and Manohar and everybody else who comes every week.
Trish, I come every
Oh,
week.
Trish is like, wait a minute. I don't exist, but I'd still like to be like somebody saying, Trish,
No, I mean, I just assume Trish, is there, so I don't think about it,
You mentioned before someone with a photographic memory. Years and years ago, I lived with a guy who actually had a photographic memory, and it's just amazing. He wrote over 50 books on the conquista of Mexico by the Spaniards.
Oh.
He was and he spent 6 months in Rome in the archives
Oh.
of the Vatican archives, studying, reading these old manuscripts by the the explorers and so forth. And like if I asked him a question, like when we're at the table eating. This is when I used to be a priest so many years ago. You'd ask him a question, and he could quote any book, any sentence, anything that he ever read. It was just kind of like mind-boggling.
Wow.
Whoa. This is the guy you want to sit next to, and I'm, like when you're taking your exams or something like that. It's
Yeah,
just
exactly.
amazing.
He must have
Yeah,
a great
a
hard
photographic memory. Oh
drive.
man, I tell you. And also, we're getting snow here next week, so
In
that'll be
Arizona.
great.
Oh, wow.
In
Arizona?
Arizona, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
An
do
event that's, yeah, everyone's getting all ready for it,
you have four-wheel drive and everything?
I do it. We don't get that much snow. People, I mean, they do sell snow shovels,
Yeah.
In Flagstaff, because Flagstaff's
higher.
It's higher. It's 45 minutes drive from here, but you know, like it's a very different temperature.
Yeah.
It's like being in Colorado, kind of.
Don't they ski at that San Francisco mountain?
They do, yeah. There's San Francisco Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Snow Bowl, it's called. So.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they have to make artificial snow for it, but hopefully this year it'll be the real deal.
Oh, well, that should be beautiful with the red rocks and the snow. Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Is it your meditation place behind you, that chair?
Yeah, that's where I sit in the morning. it's a yellow chair, so I put like, it's very bright. I got it at, World Market, actually. It's from, I think it's from India. And so I put that Native American blanket over it now to cover it. So
it looks like a
perfect, that's not so bright.
Perfect meditation.
But, yeah, it's very comfortable. It's very comfortable, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Sir, people will ask again today, why are you guys discussing all this?
No. Yeah, that's another thing. We never edit any of the stuff. It's just, you know, whatever is appearing, how it's unfolding, that's how it goes, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the perfection of the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like I noticed when thoughts come up and I get involved in the mind, it's like taking you away from the present. So, you know, forget about it, come back. And, you know, you have to keep coming back. As soon as you notice, oh yeah, I'm into the, you know, speculation of mind or whatever. And then I realize, oh, well then I'm not present. I'm not noticing what's happening right now. So let's go back to the present. Whatever's there is what's there. And you have to kind of honor that instead of honoring the productions of the mind.
You know, the background of every experience is the presence. So it can be found at any time.
Yeah.
You can talk about anything and still remain with yourself with self.
Yeah.
You know, there's, as a matter of fact, one of the things that I was reading this morning was talking about the fact that go out, you know, work hard, do all this sort of stuff, converse with the people, and never leave yourself. They say the Atman, but okay, the selfless self, the presence, whatever you want to speak about it,
right.
you never leave it because you can't. Like, yeah. it's only can be left when there's a thought that I'm somehow separate or right. that I need to get back to this. No, it's here. You are that. So yeah. even when you're not paying attention
yeah.
to that, you are that.
Right. It doesn't go away, you go away.
Yeah, well, through the concepts and imagination,
right.
you try to carry yourself away in false belief, basically, right. and concepts, but you're never not that. It's not like there's like, I need to be more that. No, that is all there is.
Right.
So there's no increasing or getting better or yeah. you're that.
No manipulation.
Yeah, you're just having the realization, oh, I'm that. And no matter what I'm doing, that is all there is, the selfless self. And everything that's not that is just an appearance. And even those appearances are that,
yeah.
just manifestation and from the unmanifest. But there's no like, oh, I'm forgetting myself. No, that's not exactly true. You're this illusory entity that you're believing yourself to be for a time is trying to search for your own self. But this illusory entity is just kind of a layer on that self that you always are. So if I take a dye and put it in the water and turn it blue, it's not that the dye is like a layer on the water, basically.
Yeah.
The water hasn't changed at all. And the water doesn't know, oh, now I'm more blue than I was just a moment ago.
Right.
It's only the concept of I've added something to this. And if you were to do some kind of chemical thing and take the blue out, okay, the water's still water. It remains. It's the background of every experience.
A couple of weeks ago, I had a discussion with my friend. So I don't know whether you are saying that background is same as the one I'm referring. So just being aware, right? It is not going anywhere. But whenever some thought or some worry is, you know, comes and, you know, projected as myself, in that moment, it appears that awareness is not there. But if you see clearly, without awareness, there is no recognition of that particular thought is operating in that moment. That means awareness is always there. But because of the belief that, you know, whatever is happening in that very moment, it appears that it is not there. Somehow, you know, that clicked it, sir. But I'm not sure that the awareness I'm referring here and the presence you're referring are the same. Maybe, I don't know. But that's true. I got that, you know, understanding. I mean, that understanding dawned that the idea of that I'm somebody is, you know, creating another idea that, you know, awareness is going. But when the recognition comes that I'm not that this idea, then that, you know, appears very clearly, but it is always there, that awareness.
Yeah, well, awareness, aware of things other than yourself. And what you're saying is, when I'm aware of things, of course, immediately when you're aware of things, you objectify. So this formless awareness or this formless presence is objectifying that I'm aware of something. Now, if you're formless, you would not be aware of something. Only when you're a thing are you aware of this thing. And of course, we can say, go ahead.
So you are saying, if I'm not aware of anything, that means this normally, you know, whatever this beingness or mind, if it is abide, you know, whatever the scriptures say in that presence, then there is no awareness that, you know, anything is existing apart from the self.
Well, because you're aware of awareness, or your consciousness, you're holding consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence, selfless self remaining with selfless self. Only when you look outside and you're aware of other objects as objects do you objectify yourself. But think about it. You have to be an object to see another object, or to relate to another object. The space in the room is not relating to objects. And yet when the space in the room were to click with this body and conceptualize object to object, then awareness would be aware of objects. So when you're with yourself, things can come and go, but they don't create that duality. They're just scenes appearing and disappearing before you, who's constant. And that's why Maharaj says, everything is moving around you. You're not moving. When you have a local identification with an object as a body, then you're looking at other objects. When awareness is aware of awareness using body form, like just here, just I. You could say consciousness is remaining with consciousness. And in this moment, you can still see things, you can still do things and all this, but there's not that creation of duality. The world is just objects that are there, but there's no awareness of them as something separate. You absolutely know that just like in dream, everything that is appearing around you is appearing on presence. Because in a dream, you can look around, you can see people, you can see the stars, you can see the trees, you can see the water, but it's all appearing within you. It's all you. And in the same sense, when you're remaining with your selfless self, you can see trees, you can see a kitchen and this sort of thing, But you know, it's all just an appearance. It's all within your own selfless self. And you're not objectifying as something wanting another thing. All these are just appearances and they come and go. You remain with your selfless self. The background of every experience is that presence. We say this, why? Because all of these are layers upon your presence. So you just remain. Right now, you can use this body form, as we talked about, dip into the nectar of immortality, remain with your selfless self, pick up this water, drink it. I'm not really thirsty right now, so I'm going to do that, but drink it and put it down. And you're not losing yourself. You're not giving yourself for anything. So now the same tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but the next day when you go to work and you're in your office and they're having a meeting, it's drink the water, put it down. And somebody says, Rami, could you give your report? And you can stand up and give a very nice report and not lose yourself. And if the boss says, Rami, that was a terrible report. What are you doing? You need to brush up on your whatever it is you do a little bit more. And you don't have to lose yourself because you say, okay, I'll try better next time, or thank you or something. And that's it. Because who is he talking about? You're not Rami, you're formlessness. And yet, within this appearance, you have a boss and you have you as a separate thing. But you're not taking the touch of it being separate because you absolutely know the entire world's illusion. If your boss tells you to do a better job, you just go, okay, let's sit down, do a better job. That's it. But it's not like, oh, Rami, you're so terrible. The boss hates you. You're doing so bad. You know you're going to lose your job. And then right away, as soon as you have this thought train, the mind goes all the way to, now you're homeless. It goes, my boss is talking to me and saying I should improve. Boom, straight to homelessness, your mind goes. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to get a different job. Oh, it's too much stress. But you're not that. You're the background. So in every experience, no matter what's happening, you become aware of awareness rather than aware of the objects that are appearing within awareness, even thought. Okay, thoughts are there. Thoughts come and go, but you're just aware of your own self. You're just presence with presence, consciousness with consciousness, because you know it's just a long dream. The same as when you lay down at night and a whole dream world is projected, and all this talking and moving about inside the dream, it's the same that you're experiencing now because of holding the body. You're seeing the waking dream. Always remember, too, it's one consciousness that produces both waking and sleep. The thing that makes you believe they're two separate things is that thing labeled Rami that you are not.
Sir, you know, at least, you know, in my case, the mind deludes that, yes, you know, I got the essence, whatever, it could be learned from the outside world, like through discourses or listening, whatever that. But, you know, it's an excuse, you know, it tries to, you know, hold on to this body. This ego, you know, to exist. You know, this is a way to escape. But in reality, I think, you know, one has get that, you know, final clarity that I am the selfless self. I think these are very essential, you know, whether it is whatever the way help comes, right? One has to take it. One shouldn't neglect, I believe. So, you know, why I'm telling this is, you know, the things you are telling, right? You know, one way or other in real life, they are in daily life, you know, they are helping to see the things, you know, how one is behaving with others, with oneself, how expectations are operated in a day. So all these things, you know, the way, you know, when these things are seen, right, how the things are happening, taking place with the help of these discourses or the studying of the Maharaj. So this burden of, you know, self is reducing, even though it might not be measurable, like, you know, like any metric, but one could see that. But in between, you know, this mind ego comes and tells that I got it. And then, you know, I take break from the things. Again, you know, old things again gradually comes back, and again this guilt thing will operate and again starting. But rather than doing that, one has to, whatever the way one gets the opportunity, one has to seize that till one reach the truth, right?
Direct experience of your own self, the self. Maharaj says meditation is so important. Once you, and again, I believe the reading today was about that too, about once you touch your own selfless self, just a brief little something. It was Swami Ramdas, I think, who said a quarter or a half or even a touch is enough, because you say, oh, so this is what the guru has told me about. This is that selfless self. Now I know it's there. I have direct experience with my own selfless self. Now I put into practice in this daily walk, because I know the world's illusion. So I remain with my selfless self. And the more I do this, the more, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, the I am is pleased and unveils the secret. The more you remain. Because you're not giving yourself away for outside different various things. See, we somehow think that this is something that, oh, I hope I could get, or I have to be very spiritual to get, or I have to do something to get. Direct experience, and then walking as that. Like Maharaj says it very beautifully. He says, behave like God, behave like Brahman, act like a master, because that's the truth. And act like a master doesn't mean to open up shop and, oh, everybody needs to listen to me. No, act like a master means in your daily activities, when you start to feel disturbed, what is this disturbance? No, I'm going to remain with my selfless self. Because I'm formless master. I remain with my selfless self. It's not an idea anymore. It's an actual living experience. You are living like a master. Maharaj talks about, he says that the reality, it's not a philosophy. We're teaching practical spirituality. You live like a master. Live like a master means, Maharaj has says, and he gives the symptoms of realization where he says, patience and tolerance, undisturbed, not viewing the world, not taking the touch of the world, forgive and forget. So each time an opportunity comes up in your experience, you know it's illusion, forgive and forget. And if a mind says, oh, you're letting this person get off the hook too easy, we need to beat on them a little bit. No, it's not true. I don't exist, so therefore, how can I be in conflict with other beings? It's very simple. You are that, and now you live like that. I can speak about in my own experience, being in India, Maharaj says, you are that, placed his hand on my head, gave the mantra. I got up from there and began allowing the mantra to move the body around. I spoke about before when going to the shower and it was freezing cold at 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't take the touch. Mantra. And observe yourself still showering somehow, some way. And I really don't know how, honestly, because sometimes the water was ice freezing cold, but I always wound up with a nice shower and I wasn't shivering or crazy. It just, I shower. And then I go to the morning Kakadarati Bhajan, and it was just a nice flow. And when we talked about the taxi cab, Master says, remain with your selfless self. Taxi cab, it's raining and dark and very crazy driving. No offense to the driver. You were a good driver. It was just crazy because it was raining, just in case he's watching. But it was remain with your selfless self. Now, that's a time, Rami, where you might say, like you just said, well, sometimes the mind comes in and I get lost. No excuse. Remain with your selfless self. Because sure, I could have had the mind go in. I can't even imagine what the cab ride would have been like if I was actually experiencing it. Or I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to be going to the hospital with food poisoning had I actually been experiencing it. Or when Maharaj left the hospital and went back to the ashram and I was alone in the hospital, I couldn't even imagine, had I actually been experiencing that, how disturbed I might have been. But luckily, because the master said, mantra, remain with your selfless self, the world's illusion, don't give yourself away, I didn't experience cold shower. I didn't experience food poisoning. I didn't experience the India hospital and not, you know, being all there by myself in a foreign country hooked up to an IV. And I didn't experience a very scary cab ride, nor did I experience Maharaj dropped me off a little bit earlier than my flight. And I didn't know in America, if you're 6 hours early for your flight, they let you in the building and you can kind of chill and walk around and maybe sit in a chair. You can't board the plane, but you can kind of chill. In India, 1 hour before, they say, and you have like, because I was shocked. I was like, wow, so I have to stand out here for 5 hours. Okay. But I didn't stand for 5 hours because I wasn't experiencing the wait. I would have been really like not enjoying waiting outside for 5 hours, but I remained with mantra and I didn't experience a 5 hour wait. And I didn't experience the plane ride. And I didn't experience when I came back. There's no experience, no experiencer. Master has said, Rami, you're no longer going to have any experience because you're going to remain with your selfless self. It's just going to be scenes appearing and disappearing before you, and it won't change you at all. It can't, because all of this is appearing on spontaneous presence. And behind every experience, there you are. This is the truth. And you could say, oh, John, how were you able to? It's the truth. I trusted my master. I trusted Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj, absolutely. And did what I was told. Remain with your selfless self through mantra. Anytime you feel like you're maybe not remaining, mantra to get back with your selfless self. Then that's it. Now, where does the mind come into that? Or where does concepts that take you away from yourself come in? They cannot. The only concept of duality would be, in this moment, I need to be with mantra. And now you've created a duality. I need to remain with mantra. Eventually, then it's just, I need to remain with a sense of presence. And then there won't be any duality because it's just you're formlessly here using this body form, but without a mind that's giving you concepts to keep you pressurized in a body. You're formless. You're just, and formlessly you're drinking and providing water for the body, but you don't have to keep saying, oh, I'm providing water for the body. Oh, now I'm providing food for the body. No, because you're just formless. You're just here.
photographic memory don't help you.
Well, photographic memory would be good if you're imbibing what you're actually reading and you're reading the reader. Like, okay, you've read some books. Like Maharaj says, you've read some books. This is good. But all these books are telling you what? Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. You know this now. Now what's needed? Direct experience with your own selfless self. How do we get this direct experience with our own selfless self? Meditation. Bhajan. Remaining with your selfless self. And then eventually there's no need to remain because you are that. So in this moment, you can sit and use the body. But see, even then, because in reality, the real life is occurring within the meditation. There's no separation between meditating and not meditating. This is the time this body is going for meditation, or this is the time that I'm, I guess, doing my activities and I'm not meditating. But there's no separation of this. You are that selfless self. All of this is appearing on your spontaneous presence. You remain with presence, and all of this is the meditation. This is the consciousness. This is the presence. This is the... If there's nothing else.
And if there, I guess if there's any conviction, it's not my conviction, it's just truth. Like you said, it's just, that's just it, what it is. There's no question what it is anymore, I guess.
You've stopped imagining. Because everything you're doing is just imagining. Every question is from the position of a body-based existence. Because you can't ask a question about yourself. You can only ask questions about that you are not. Mm-hmm. And in the body-based illusion, I can say, what happens when I die?
You can think you're asking questions about yourself, but actually you're not. Because when you're asking a question, you're directing it towards something, even if that something is what you feel or think is yourself, it's not yourself. It's an other. It's like the when you say something, I used to have trouble understanding when you would say something else. You're acting like you're something else, and I wasn't connecting with that. But yeah, you are treating yourself as something else if you treat yourself as a subject other than any, I don't know, the word other is tricking me up now.
Yeah, because you're formless. All of this is appearing within you. There's only one. And all of this existence is absolutely illusion because you're formless. It's a manifestation within the unmanifest. And again, this is the something that appeared in the nothing and will return to nothing. So any questions I ask are about the illusion. If I say, should I stay with self-inquiry? Well, I've automatically put myself as a someone that's doing some self-inquiry. Maharaj would eliminate that very quickly by saying, prior to beingness, was there any self-inquiry? Mm. Prior to beingness, there was none of this. You didn't know yourself. None, nothing, like nothing. And not the concept of nothing that can be known. There was nothing. Now that you're in this body-based existence, you have so many questions. You have body-based relations. You have body-based knowledge. And your knowledge is good to a point, but then you have to leave it. Because otherwise you'll say, like Maharaj says, Ramana Maharshi says this, and Nisargadatta Maharaj says this, and Krishnamurti says this, but all these came along with the body. You're not body. It's good to a point, because now you're convinced that this could be true. Now you have direct experience and it removes all doubt. How do you have direct experience? Meditation, remaining with your selfless self.
And when being in a body, seeing the truth of that, I sometimes get a sense that I am everything. You know, I'm not me anymore. I'm everything. That kind of happened to me yesterday anyway. I had that sense. And it's kind of like nothing, but it's also kind of like everything. It's kind of hard to, you know, put into words. But
yeah, when the mind's not trying to give you a local identification, obviously you're everything. Because that all of everything is all there is. Presence. But all the everything is nothing. So you're remaining with your selfless self. Therefore, this local identification is dissolved. Of course, you're not limiting. The limitless is no longer imagining a limitation. And therefore, experiencing is, there's nothing limiting me.
It can't be individualized anymore.
Yeah, there's nothing limiting. What's going to limit? Even the use of this body is not limiting, because I have no mind flow identified with, as I'm trapped in this limited little body form. I'm the consciousness or the presence in which all this is appearing, including this body that I'm using to see inside all of this and say, oh, look.
It's almost like you're outside the body or something.
Well, the body is within you.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, we say presence in the body, but presence in the body is just an identification that presence is everywhere. This body also happens to be appearing in presence.
Yeah. Makes
more consciousness. And again, this is so easily turned back to the dream. Think about that. Think about it very deeply. The body that you're believing yourself to be, laying down to sleep. Boom, a dream world. All these objects, including an object you call yourself within this dream, that you're seeing this dream. But even that, you can look and say, well, wait a minute, this body is just laying there. This body that I believe myself to be, labeled Keith, is just laying there. And all of this world is coming from where? And who's watching it? Because my body eyes that I believe are seeing are shut. Basically, I'm just a lump of five elements laying down. And all of this world is appearing. And yet within the world that's appearing formlessly are the five elements. And including an object that you call yourself, the dreamer that's looking and seeing. And you don't know it's a dream until you wake up the next morning. You say, oh, I had a very nice dream. Well, how did you know you had a very nice dream? Because you are that presence in which all of this is appearing. You're not this lump laying down in the bed.
And all of that can only happen in the present moment with the immediacy. It can't be other than this moment. There's only one moment somehow.
Well, again, if you look at moment has to have an object in time. So you create an object called you that is relating to other objects and, quote, passing time, because they're objects in space that can be measured as what we call time. I'm over here, now it's over there.
So there's no moment. There's no moment.
Well, but only if you have an identification. If you have an object, then you can have a moment. If you're formless, then time, you're outside of time. You're prior to time. You're prior to space. You're all of these, because you're... And see, this is where it could get confusing. How can I be prior to space when I'm an object within this space? Well, because the perception of the awareness, as Rami was speaking, there's an awareness of being an object within space. But in reality, you're the space. You're aware of the object that's within the space, but you're more like space or sky than you are the object. So now you need an object to create time. Time, you are prior to time. And you'll know that time is kind of a goofy thing. If we go into the body-based illusion to explain time, when you're having a really great time doing something, time, quote, flies by. When someone's boring you to tears, time slows down. So therefore, time is not slowing down or speeding up. It's relative to the perceiver of time. Of course, that's all body-based illusion, and we don't talk about that. But this is just a brief little explanation of how time is not a solid thing. You're prior to time. You're prior to space. Everything. Just like that dreamer laying down is prior to the dream world being projected. The sense of existence mixed with boom creates the dream world, the consciousness, so to speak. Now you unwind that, there's a sense of existence, boom, that creates this world that we appear to be seeing, which is the waking dream world, and I'm the waking dream character to be able to look inside and perceive the dream. However, when the waking dream character is no more, because there's no longer a essence, that the essence cannot be sustained by this body, then I stop seeing this waking dream world. I wake up, so to speak. I'm no longer imagining this dream world.
One more thing here. As you have said, when this meditation practice happens, continuously this devotion, it somehow entangles oneself from the assumed self for a brief time. At least, you know, there is emptiness or quietness. But there is a sense of boredom, yes? As Mara says, right, like, you know, don't get bored. You know, this arises some, again, gradually, you know, pulling back to the old patterns. Again, they become the burden. So, how can we aware that, you know, one slips away into the day-to-day, you know, imagination. So, this quietness, I believe, you know, whoever are in this meeting, definitely by the end of the meeting, there is a quietness, maybe for a few hours, for a day. And gradually, again, based on, you know, how deep it has gone, again, you know, this old things are comes back and start attack. But rather than slipping into that older or, you know, the so-called self, This I know is to be aware. How to be aware that thing is not kicking?
Well, what you're saying is, like, after this meeting for a day or two, you feel the selfless self, you're with the selfless self. Why? Because for this last hour, we've been paying attention to our selfless self. All talk is directed to selfless self. The selfless self is the listener and the speaker, and it's resonating. Our minds are not off wandering in every direction. They're here. So what does that mean? It means you remain with your selfless self. We talked about before, God's a jealous God. If you go out running after other things, you're not going to feel this sense of presence, this very deep peace. And as far as getting bored, from my own experience, it's impossible. I mean, if you're bored, then there's still a mind there that's sitting there saying, I don't like this peace, this silence, this deep, amazing bliss. I prefer some busyness. But that's just, the more you remain with your selfless self, the more the mind gets drowned out in this ocean of bliss. The selfless self intoxication. See, I was very lucky because in the previous life, I enjoyed intoxicants very much. I enjoyed the feeling and I always wanted more. And so this presence, it's the same. It's like, whoa, look at that peace that's there. Look, and as Maharaj says, it's like digging the well. You dig the well, you remove the dirt, you remove some rocks, a little bit water comes. You don't just say, oh, good, I have water now. No, you're digging a well. So you keep digging and digging and digging until suddenly this gush of water comes. But if you stop halfway down, you say, oh, you know what? This is enough water for me. Every day I'll just come, I'll take a little sip right off the top. No. It's the same with the selfless self. You have to have that selfless self intoxication where there is nothing more that you would want more than this selfless self, this experience of absolute bliss, this nectar of immortality. And if there is something you want more, then definitely you're believing yourself to be an object. And all you have to do is just remain with your selfless self, go back to mantra. Okay, I don't feel this selfless self right now. Okay, I've separated, remain with mantra, because the separation is illusion. It's not true. So I just have to clear some of the layers that seem to be blocking my presence. How do I do that? My master has said, mantra. So I remain with mantra. Oh, there we go. Because it's the background of every experience. So no matter what experience seems to be happening, and remember, all experience is no experience, you remain with mantra. Oh, I started to believe that this thing that is not happening is actually happening, meaning I gave it life through imagination. What does that mean? I just have to stop imagining. How do I stop imagining? Mantra. Oh, okay, so that I am that. Oh, yes, that's it. That's all I want. Now I can open my eyes and go back in the illusory world because I'm remaining with my selfless self. I'm totally at peace. Silence really doesn't even make sense because the only noise that used to be there were the flow of thoughts, and the flow of thoughts may be there or may not be there, but they're not causing noise because I'm not so interested in them. I think Maharaj uses the example of the barking dog. If I get angry with the barking dog, then the dogs start barking in my mind. If I don't pick up and get angry with this barking dog, then in essence, they're not barking. And Nisargadatta Maharaj, the one guy, I forget who it was, but there was a story about he came to Mumbai to see Maharaj, and there was another guy who was traveling with him. And the next morning, the guy was like, oh my God, the city, it was so noisy. It was this, it was that. And this person said, oh, I didn't hear anything. Why? Because the sound may be there, it may not be there, but you're not giving it undue attention by identification of, oh, this is sound. No, you remain with your selfless self. Thoughts come and go. I'm not trying to remain formless. I'm not trying to remain thoughtless. The thoughts are appearing and disappearing, but there's no identification, there's no grabbing. And I'm naturally formless because I am formless. I am that. And everything is appearing within that. And that you are. And that's that. It's 8:13.
Thank you,
Jai Guru.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for being here and making this possible.